The secret room needs you, not just to lay your soul bare and to tell the world the stories you've never shared before, though that is always appreciated. Today, there's a 20-second survey waiting for you. That's right, just 20 seconds, that will help us attract advertisers. It's all you have to do to support your favorite little indie podcast that could. The survey is available right now at secretroompodcast.com and in the show notes in your pod player. Thank you. It means everything to us. And remember, this little podcast is here for you too. secretroompodcast.com. Thanks.
So, I was in Amsterdam this weekend, and I was on the bus to get to Central Station to catch my train, and I sat down on the first seat next to the door. Something felt wrong with the floor, and I looked down. Not only did it feel slimy, but it kind of looked like vomit, and I was just so disgusted. So I moved. Two stops later, this family of, I think, Italian people come on the bus. The mom, she's standing by the chair for a long time, so I decide, okay, maybe she's not going to sit there. Then she sits, and I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And I want to tell her, but like, I'm not that close. She sits down, and then she puts her bag down on the vomit, and I'm like, oh my god. I just point to her, and I'm like, the floor is dirty. I feel bad. I probably should have said the floor has vomit on it, which is different than the floor is dirty. I just wasn't sure if it was vomit, and I didn't want to, like, lie, I guess. His mom basically said that she doesn't care. You know, I guess she'll just figure it out in her own way when she tries to pick up her bag and there's vomit on it. Yeah, so that's my secret.
Hey everyone, it's Ben. Today we've got a secret unlike any other we've aired before. It's about Max's secret life. You'll be surprised when you hear who he kept it secret from, and for how long. And this is the part of the show where we stamp it NSFW, if necessary. Today's show falls into that category, so take note. This show is not safe for work. So if you don't want to listen to a true story about a gay male escort and how all that stuff works, in front of your work colleagues or whomever, press pause, and Max and I will be here, waiting patiently for when you're ready. So, onward. Our title today is a bit of a giveaway. Today's secret is about how Max accidentally became a gay male escort. You're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells. I'm Ben Hamm.
Is it against the law where you did it?
Technically.
Would you say it was illegal?
Technically, it kind of is.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Max. My secret is I had a job that's technically illegal, and I've never told anybody about it.
Well,
I was paid to entertain men in any form or fashion that they needed.
Max, welcome to the secret room.
Thank you for having me.
How many people know your secret?
None. Nobody.
So this is the first time you've told your secret?
Yes, it will be.
How come you don't tell anybody?
Mostly because I'm afraid how people would judge me if they really knew.
What do you think your family would do if they found out?
I know my dad would probably lose his mind. I'm pretty sure my siblings probably would not care. They might ask me questions about it, but I really wouldn't want to get into that conversation with them at all.
Right. Let's rewind back a little ways to before you took this questionable job. Let me just ask you, what was your life before you did this? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was going through a terrible breakup. It was just an overall bad relationship. It was very volatile.
How long had you been going out?
7 years.
It must have been good for a long time.
For the most part. It's more one of those situations where you end up just sticking with the person because you don't know any better.
But what were the warning signs that made you realize, finally, that this relationship was not for you?
The secrets. he kept his phone locked down tight, but yet I was to allow him to have access to my phone at all times. It just made me really question, like, okay, what is he doing on the side? I just wanted out.
There must have been a point where you had, you know, where things came to a head.
It was technically on our 7-year anniversary. We just had spent a ton of money moving into a new place. He was very adamant on wanting to go out on our anniversary, and I was like, let's wait until we get paid again. He flipped out and was like, well, I'm going out without you. You can do whatever. And I was like, okay. Then words came from my friends that he was hanging out with another guy. That was just like the drawing point where I was like, I'm done.
You changed the locks on the door?
Technically, the place was in my name, so he had no legal grounds to stay there.
He came home one day and couldn't get in?
Yep.
What happened? What did he say?
He called me up at work, threatened to break in, threatened to set the place on fire. I called the cops. They were like, well, can he get his stuff? And I was like, yeah, sure. I had it all piled up in a corner ready for him to take. And I was like, here it is. And he took his stuff and then never heard from him again.
How did you feel when he left with his stuff?
At first I was scared, but I felt liberated afterwards.
What scared you?
Was I doing the right thing? Mostly was I over-dramatizing the whole situation. My friends had to replay everything that he did to me in my brain. It was like, well, do you remember this time when he called you fat, and then pointed out all the clothes that you had in your closet that looked horrible on you. My friends were really good at trying to motivate me and to keep my spirits up, and that I was making the right decision, and I never looked back.
It was a difficult step, but something you had to go through.
Yes.
Yeah. So how did that leave you immediately afterward?
I was not confident. I had some image issues. I don't know how to explain it, but all of a sudden I just got this motivation to start working out, to start eating healthy, start looking good. And it worked. I was looking really good. I was attracting people and I was active and I was participating more in family events and, you know, stuff that was like, it was a completely new me.
So what did you do with that newfound power?
I used it to make money.
I had a feeling that's where we were going. This is very interesting. So let me ask you, before we get too deep into that, what was the allure? Why did you feel you wanted to go in that direction?
I'm a very sexual person. I don't view sex as taboo as majority of the population. There is a major difference between making love and having sex. So when it comes to just sex, I don't see it as full-on cheating because you don't have an emotional attachment to the other person. You're just having animal instincts. You're wanting to get it on, get the job done, and go separate ways.
Okay. At one point, you made a conscious decision to take on this technically illegal job. How did you get to that point?
Completely by accident.
Okay. Tell me about that.
As part of my newfound ego and self-esteem and happiness, I became a pretty good man whore. There is this one guy who I'll say his name is Jeff. We would constantly see each other at least 2 to 3 times a week. There was no emotional attachments. There was just the raw, come over, let's get this done. Sure. I'm home at 5.
You wouldn't be there. Okay.
So after like a couple months, he was like, hey, I have a question for you. In the back of my mind, I was like, oh crap, he wants to date.
You were envisioning him getting down on his knee or something, right?
No, I was just envisioning him like, hey, let's make it steady. Let's bring this to like a close type deal. And in the back of my head, I was like, oh God. But then he asked, I have a business client that's coming into town. He's like, I would really like it if you allowed him to pay you a visit while he was here.
Wow. Okay. So at this point, there's like a, you know, you're like wiping your brow, dodged that bullet.
Yes.
You're probably still a little bit worried because this sounds a little weird.
It did. But at the same time, I didn't really care.
Okay.
I just asked if he was hot or if he was at least attractive.
Oh, wait. So you had an idea what it was?
I had no idea. I assumed it meant having sex in some form or manner.
What gave you that clue? Because the way you described it to me, I didn't necessarily get that.
Well, because me and him had a sex-only relationship, and he said, hey, I have a business client. Can he pay you a visit?
Okay.
It was one of those things where I just kind of assumed that he wants to probably say, hey, go see this guy for a good time type deal. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
All right.
I didn't think of it anything more than that. He was like, you're really good at what you do. And he goes, this is why I keep coming over. So I was just like, that's cool. Now, I will say, when he did say that, he's like, can he pay you a visit? I didn't really think of money exchanging. I just thought it was like the coin term, like, hey, can you come over type deal.
So what he really meant was, can he pay you for a visit?
Yes.
Okay.
So he came over, he hands me an envelope. And I take the envelope, and like, not being completely innocent and not, you know, not knowing what was in the envelope, I was like, what's in the envelope? And his business partner goes, for my time with you. In the back of my head, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, wow. Did he just give me money for sex? I had to like take a step back and like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I'll be right back. And I like walked into my bedroom, and I'm like having a mental meltdown in my head, like, seriously? I'm like, how do I handle this?
But I thought you were sort of expecting it.
But it didn't click into my head until the envelope exchanged hands.
Right. So did you look in the envelope?
Yes.
And how much was in there?
$2,000.
Holy shit.
As soon as I saw the money in there and I counted it, I was like, all right, let's go do this.
Wow. Okay, mind blown. And I'm so curious, I don't know why, but what denominations were the bills in? 20s, 100s?
They're all 100s.
Wow, that is really something. Okay, so you saw the money. What did you do?
I got a huge burst of confidence, hid the money, walked out, and brought him back to my room.
Dang. When it was over, did he say he felt he got his money's worth?
He took a nap.
Okay, so I guess that's a vote of confidence.
I had a huge surge of confidence. So I had all the energy in the world because I was like, holy crap, I'm getting paid $2,000. I didn't even expect this. That's awesome.
Wow, Max, that's unbelievable. And so did Jeff, the guy who pimped you out, did he want... Not trying to be offensive, just funny. Did he want a commission?
No, once the guy left, I texted him, not angrily, but a little more curiosity. I'm like, did you tell him to pay me? He's like, yeah. He goes, I didn't think you would do it for free. I felt a little insulted.
Right.
I did jokingly text him back going, so does that make you my pimp now? He responded back with, LOL, no. I thought it would be a good opportunity for you. He responded back saying, you're not insulted by this, are you? And I told him no. He's like, good, because I have some more people who would be interested.
What? I don't understand. I mean, it's nice of him to be all selfless like this and to, you know, pass tricks your way or whatever. But he doesn't want any money out of it.
Unless they were secretly paying him.
Could have been, but I mean, I don't see any motivation for that. Because you guys are pretty upfront. You wouldn't have been shocked or upset if he'd said, you know, I'm taking 10% out of this or whatever the going rate is.
No, but when I think about it, these were all of his business partners.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that either it was to keep business or, you know, more of a business dealings, like we'll talk about business later.
I see. Okay. So he was getting something out of it.
Probably. I didn't really ask, nor did I really care.
Right. Yeah. What is Jeff's business, loosely speaking?
I know he owned a fabrication company deep into Scottsdale. Owned or ran, one of the two.
So that was your entree into the business, right?
Yep.
Where did it go from there?
I would say I had about 5 gentlemen that I saw on a constant basis, like once or twice a month. There was one that I think I saw more frequently than the others. That's because he wasn't married. The other gentlemen that I saw, they were married, with the exclusion of one whose wife knew who I was actually all for it. It was awkward.
Was it? How so?
Going behind someone's back is a lot easier because they don't know. Knowing that somebody knows and is like, oh yeah, go ahead, go see your mistress or whatever. Because then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, when they get home, the wife's like, oh, how'd it go? What'd you guys do? You know, type deal. And that's just, it becomes very awkward in my mind when I think about it.
You just imagine him giving her the blow-by-blow, so to speak.
As part of, like, my whole self-esteem, that's all I can think about is, like, oh, we did this. And she's like, oh, really? How was it? And it's, like, it's nerve-wracking in the back of my head.
Yeah, because you were thinking about him sort of rating your performance.
Right.
To his wife. Awkward. I get it. I want to break down the financial aspect of it a little bit, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Were all the gentlemen that you were seeing paying the same rate?
Essentially, yes.
And so how did that negotiation go? Did Jeff just send them to you and they just gave you $2,000 per, you know, session? Or did you have to negotiate the rate with them when you met them? Or tell me how that all works.
There's nobody you can go ask to. It's not like you can go down to the corner and be like, hey, how much do you charge? It's kind of like one of those, like, okay, how much am I worth? What can I get away with? So the first two gentlemen, it was just $2,000 that they brought over, and I'm assuming Jeff thought that, or that could be what they're normally used to paying. But when it came to the third gentleman, that one was a little bit more in depth because he had specific tastes. Some of them I was a little bit uncomfortable with. Jeff kind of warned me beforehand. He's like, he's gonna want to talk to you before anything happens. And I was like, okay. I didn't really think much of it until he was, like, in person asking me very personal questions. And I'm like, who are you? Why are you asking me all these questions? His wasn't just sex. So that's why it got a little awkward. He wanted an actual companionship.
Wow. And so did you ever run into anybody where you had to engage with them as this alter ego?
Only a handful. Once was with his wife, and that was extraordinarily difficult.
Oh my God. So this wife did not know?
No.
Okay.
It scared the crap out of me. I got nervous, and I started sweating bullets. I had to look this woman square in the face and lie and, you know, secretly think in the background, this is what I'm doing to your husband in the real life.
Wow.
But it got really awkward in that moment because I actually had to come to face to face with kind of like what I'm actually doing.
That was sort of a moment of realization for you. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What does that mean?
Like I said, it's different to think, oh, this is just sex. Once they're out of your sight, you have no ties to that person. Like I said, it's a little bit different than cheating because I'm not romantically involved with these people. I don't want to date them. I don't want to be their spouse. So for me, it's easier for me to just say, okay, this is what I'm doing, whatever. No harm, no foul if nobody finds out. But when I came face to face with his wife, I saw how beautiful she was. And I'm just like, why? Not only was it self-realization of what I was doing, but it's kind of self-realization of, why are you with her, but then being with me on the side? It brought back the self-esteem issues in that moment. And then finally, I just was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm getting money for this.
I have to say your reaction sounds a little surprising to me, because at the top of the interview, you said that you definitely draw a distinction between sex and making love. And so couldn't that have been the case here with him? You know, he makes love to his wife, and he comes and has sex with you. And there's the answer.
True, but in the heat of the moment, it does kind of bring doubt to your mind. Because I wasn't prepared mentally to meet his wife, it's kind of like the eye-opener, like, oh. But like I said, I had to quickly smash that and be like, nope. This is just sex. This is just money.
So you took comfort in the Benjamins?
I did.
How much money were you making from this one gentleman, do you think, per week or per month?
It was about $6,000 a session.
$6,000 a session?
Because there is more than just sex involved.
And that would be the boyfriend experience?
That and some other things.
You can tell me if you want to.
He wanted to be treated like an inanimate object.
Like a chair?
like a chair or a rug or whatever I felt like at the moment. That's kind of what got him off some of the times.
So if he was a chair, you'd sit on him?
Yes.
Or a rug, you'd walk on him?
Or, yeah, I would, like, step on him, like, not, like, full force, but, like, tell him that he's trash and that he's worthless. And I would say probably in instances I made him pretend he was a coffee table and I sat and watched TV and put my feet up on him and left it there for, like, a good hour while I watched a show.
Okay.
I made him pour, like, I think about it now and I was like, I can't believe I actually did some of that stuff. I pretty much used him the way he wanted to be used. He liked to be disciplined, so if he acted out of line, he wanted to be spanked or whipped.
What was the most surprising request he made of you?
I had to look it up, and I had to say no. There are these devices that you can buy to insert rods into the front part of your penis and kind of like bond it there, and it's, I don't know what it's for. I don't know why people would do things like that. But he was like, oh, if I buy these, can you use them? And I was like, what are these? I distinctly remember telling him no, because I felt like you needed to be a doctor or a nurse to like use those things properly.
But Max, you could have doubled your asking price.
I probably could have, but at that point, you know, there's just no way.
Yeah, that was your limit. So you're making $6,000 a session from him. How many times a month are you seeing him?
And once or twice.
He must have had a pretty good job to afford that and his regular lifestyle.
These gentlemen were from the upper scale of Scottsdale, so money was not an issue for a lot of these guys.
You're also seeing other men, too. So may I ask, when you were, you know, at the height of your career, how much were you pulling in a month?
Depending on how many I saw, because I actually had a full-time job on top of this.
Okay. I don't know why. Keep your resume going.
Like I said, it happened by accident, and it wasn't something I felt comfortable saying, I quit my current job, I'm going to strictly do this all day. It was more of a, hey, this is nice income. I'm paying my car off way faster than I anticipated, and I'm paying my college tuition. So I'm okay.
So how much do you think a month?
At the height, I was probably making at least 15 to 17,000
a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of dough.
Yep, but it didn't last long though.
Okay, so you're rolling in it. He said it didn't last too long. What happened?
A relationship.
Oh goodness. Okay, you fell in love.
I did, and it was clearly understood by Jeff and the gentleman that this was not going to be a forever thing. And I specifically said, any drama whatsoever, I'm done. And I didn't want any legal issues either. I already had enough issues with IRS. I didn't want any more.
I guess you weren't paying taxes on it.
No, but I made sure to be very charitable with it. It wasn't that I was hoarding it. I'd like to believe that I'm a good person at heart. I literally did donate a lot to a bunch of homeless shelters. Strictly ones that were LGBTQ oriented.
Did you feel that in some way, you know, cleansed you or the money?
No, not at all.
So you didn't feel bad about this at all. I'm not saying that you should. I'm just asking.
No, I didn't feel bad at all, except for that one minor moment, the confrontation with the wife.
The man you fell in love with, was he a gentleman?
No.
Did he know from the beginning, you know, what your side technically illegal job was? Or
absolutely not, and he still does not know.
I see. Right, you said nobody knows your secret. My goodness, wow. So if he found out, what would his reaction be, do you think?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Right. How long were you involved in this profession?
A little over a year.
I don't know what to tell you, but it's definitely your story. You know, whether you want to share it or not, and you're deciding not to share it.
I felt like I had to tell somebody. I had one friend who I felt like I could tell, but I was still so scared to tell. I would throw jokes out there to him and be like, wouldn't our lives be easier if we got paid to have sex?
Good way to test the waters.
But then he would immediately go into like, but think of ugly people you would have to do. And he quickly took a negative turn. So I was like, okay, I'm not comfortable telling you this anymore because then you're going to have way too many questions that I want to answer.
Were there any potential clients that you turned down because you were not attracted to them? Or did you accept any clients that you were not attracted to?
I did have to tell Jeff numerous times that women were not on the table.
Oh, he sent you women.
He would be like, hey, I have, but she's female. And I'm like, no. And she's like, she's willing to pay this amount. I'm like, no, I can't fake it.
What was the ratio of men to women that he sent your way or tried to?
He would have at least like maybe one about every other week.
One woman?
Yeah.
So you met this guy, you fell in love. How did you quit your job?
As not to be humorous, but I laughed now that I think about it, I pretty much gave everyone a 2-week notice when I realized that things were getting serious.
Right. And so then did you just have like a rush of business those last 2 weeks? Did you have to take annual leave from your day job to satisfy the demand?
Actually, to be honest, I did take a week off of vacation.
Yeah, see, I knew it. That's great. Okay, so you just loaded up the Brinks truck and just took care of all those final requests, and then you washed your hands of it.
Yep, but I guess this is secret 2.0. It wasn't until a year into my relationship that I called it off.
So you were busy juggling the business, work, and a relationship.
So I met him 6 months into getting kind of paid to do this. It was a little bit of a juggle for a while.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't feel anything until he proposed to move in together.
But then something happened inside you where you clearly, you know, flip switched and you said to yourself, this isn't right, I have to quit. What was it that flipped that switch?
When all options were exhausted on how I could potentially continue this without anyone knowing.
So when he proposed that you move in, you're like, oh my God, if he moves in, there's just no way I can continue this lifestyle and this job.
Eventually, at some point, something would be found out.
Your relationship meant enough to you that you would walk away from the job and the money and focus on your boyfriend.
Yeah. And just kind of like to give a little more insight, just anybody that I met, it was actually one of my high school sweethearts that I dated way back in high school.
Oh, that's sweet. So true love.
It was somebody that I've had feelings for a really long time.
Well, that's great. It's great you guys reconnected and you were able to make it work and I guess leave this other life behind you, tucked away in a corner. So you didn't feel bad about that, but I feel like I really need to ask you. This might sound silly, but do you feel bad about not feeling bad? You know, do you feel you should feel bad about that?
I do feel like I should feel bad, but it all comes down to I was getting paid. I got a lot paid off. I feel like it kind of set me up to be the person that I want to be, to provide and, you know, kind of be the dominant person in the relationship.
So your boyfriend, does he notice all the money at all? Or do you take steps to hide that?
I did take steps to hide it. I would never really buy things, anything that was outside of my means from my normal job. I would just say, oh, I had this in savings.
And have you blown through it all? Or do you still have a nice little nest egg tucked away?
I still have a nice chunk tucked away.
Yeah, good. One final question, Max. Why did you tell your secret today in the secret room?
I had to tell somebody. I think I'd rather tell it behind the curtains, you know, be behind the man behind the curtains instead of actually admitting to possibly one of my friends that I was paid to have sex.
Oh. If there's anybody you ever want to come clean to one day, you could just play them this episode.
Or they could be listening to it and not having a faintest idea of who it is.
Well, Max, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Max gave his earnings to charity and ultimately left the business for love. Is he your man whore with a heart of gold? Will he play this episode for anyone? ever. It's his choice, of course. And Max sent some photographic evidence of his journey to share with you. There's a beautiful view of Phoenix he took while on a hike with a gentleman, and there's a location shot near the guest suite of one of the gentlemen we heard about. There's also what looks like a pool of green sludge.
It was a dirty koi pond. I took it and I sent it to the gentleman. I'm like, you really should clean this. Poor fish.
All these pictures are waiting for you right now at facebook.com/secretroompod. Let's go. It has been great to have you with us for yet another episode of The Secret Room. We've got so many great stories waiting in the wings for you. We cannot get them out fast enough. Stay subscribed. Tell your friends. I don't want you to miss a minute. I'd really like to include you in our pantheon of guests. Do you have a story to share with the Podverse? Join the cool kids in The Secret Room. Drop me a note. Let's talk. You can direct message me on Twitter at Secret Room Pod, or you can leave a note at secretroompodcast.com.
Send us your secret by emailing share@thesecretroompodcast.com.
Or you can call the secret line and leave a message, 929-265-TSRP. That's for The Secret Room Podcast. So many options, no excuses. While you're checking out Max's pictures on social, you can also catch our newest bonus feature. We're posting pod secrets, bite-sized secrets we've received that are too short for the show, but too cute to pass up. You can find those at facebook.com/secretroompod and on Twitter at secretroompod. Choose your favorite social now. But enough about that. Time to credit the great people that helped make The Secret Room happen.
Our music is by Breakmaster Cylinder.
And production help by Susie Lark. Thanks, Suze. We're happy to be picked up by Spotify, so you can find us there if your little heart desires. You can also find us on all your other favorite pod players like Podbean and iTunes and Stitcher and Player FM, etc. It's all good.
You can leave The Secret Room a 5-star review wherever you listen.
Thanks a lot for downloading. I'm Ben Hamm, and this is The Secret Room. Pod on.
Pod on. Let me tell you, when you have a niece or a nephew that likes to explore and open doors and drawers, it's really hard to hide all this stuff and keep it a secret from your sister and everything when she's over, and you're just like, let's not talk about that.
Wow. Oh, so some of these tools of the trade were discovered by your niece or your sister?
Yes.
Whoops. What did you say? You just said, let's move on.
My sister is pretty cool. She was like, not going to ask, but okay.
Right. Okay. Awkward again. There's a lot of awkwardness here.
Yes.
Don't forget, I'm asking for 20 seconds of your time to fill out a very, very short, mini-sized listener survey. It's an easy way to make a big difference for this podcast that's here for you. It's at thesecretroompodcast.com and in the show notes. Thank you.